We love Pittsburgh, PA.
Good morning, Mon. Yes, Mon. Welcome to the show, Mon. This is episode 512, Mon. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Did you watch the preview for the new Bob Marley movie?
I did not, no.
I went and seen it.
I'm wondering why you keep saying Mon. I thought you said the Bob Marley. Or were you listening to Bob Marley?
No, Mon. This is just how I talk, Mon.
Oh, God. Kill me now. I cannot.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is episode 512. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, wow. Someone's fired up.
Well, I'm fired up to know that I was not the only one who was having the issues yesterday. Remember, I thought it was all me. I thought my luck was so terrible and so bad. Everything that I touched was breaking. And
apparently,
I'm not nearly as bad as most of society. They felt that the world was ending because Facebook was unavailable briefly. I didn't think that the world was ending. I thought it was just my terrible luck. So I ended up not being the fool this time around.
There you go. You got that going for you.
I got this going for me, which is nice, Mom.
That's nice.
A lot of things going on yesterday in the Berg. We had some teams come to town, one from Columbus, one from Florida. And we ended up, guys, we ended up getting a clean sweep yesterday, a 3 Pittsburgh team win sweep.
Let's go.
Pitt Panthers, they took on Florida State last night. The Penguins took on the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. And yesterday afternoon, the Bucks took on the Blue Jays, and they win all these games, guys. A lot to talk about for each of these games. We're going to get into them here shortly. But I was excited. Once I found out that I wasn't the only one, guys, yesterday, and it was everybody, and it was the whole way down my feed. Once I got on, people were losing their minds. They couldn't get on Facebook. They couldn't get on Messenger.
They didn't. They actually had to, be a functioning member of society.
You know, it makes me think, Mike. It wasn't even that long ago. We were younger people, and the communication between people was nowhere near what it is now. And people were just constantly in touch and keeping up on each other. And people were saying things like, if society breaks down, what they're saying is if we just lose our communication and our network, because it basically just goes back to the 90s.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is great because no one bugged me. I wasn't accused of like screening phone calls or anything. No, it's just being me.
And you got to think to yourself, if this is where we're at, just to go back to when we were teenagers, even in our early 20s, is what people think is the end of the world. Jeez,
well,
man.
You know what? As long as I have my internet connection so I can play my video games, I'm fine.
See, I really think
I don't need to communicate with anyone. As long as I can play my Xbox, I'll be happy.
I really think I'd be okay if this something like this would happen and we would have to endure a certain a situation.
Yeah.
I really feel that I would be okay.
I think
now if you take away the whole electric grid and you take away TV and everything of this nature, that can be a little tough because that's we've always known TV. Yeah. Everything we've done in our life, you just go turn on TV. So I mean, if we lost the whole grid and lost power and air conditioning or heat for that matter, that would be difficult. But to lose a social media platform, right? I'm sorry, is insane to me that people are going crazy like this.
Yeah, I it would not affect my life one bit if we lost like Facebook, Twitter, Insta, TikTok. I would be fine. I'd move right along, and I'm okay with that.
And the only thing that would bug me is the effect that it would have on this show.
Yeah. Where am I going to get talking points?
Get
information that I don't have access to.
Well, then to give out this information, to be
As long as we have YouTube.
Well, I think that would fall under the collapse of the internet.
Oh, you said the collapse of the internet. I thought you just meant like social media.
I don't know what I mean, but you know what I mean. I don't know what I mean, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll just take over a radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Okay. We'll be like that movie with Brendan Fraser and Adam Sandler and Buscemi. And when they were in that band, they just take the radio station hostage. That will
oh
be
yeah,
us.
I remember
Yeah.
that.
Now, I forget the name of the movie,
I do
but yeah.
too, but I
That will
remember.
be us. We will kick that door
But
in.
I'm pretty certain I could survive.
I will too.
If we lose the internet, I could survive. If we lose the ele if we lose electric,
Yeah, we'll be
that's
screwed.
a bigger problem.
You know what? Look, dude, if we lose electric, man, we'll just get some ham radios. We can do the show that way.
Yeah, because I'm sure everybody would have their ham radios ready at 11 a.m. to listen
All
to
the
their show every
crazy
day.
people like us would.
Yeah.
We would find our people.
P would be there.
He would find a
He
way.
would be. He would
Because
find a way.
Japan's not losing the internet.
No.
Nova, he's living large. And...
How you doing today, Derpy?
I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
How are you, fellas?
I forgot you were
Good.
here, Derpy. Oh.
Yeah, I'm doing well today. I'm doing a lot
I'm
better than I
messing with
was
you, Derpy.
yesterday.
I think I'm getting worse. I think I'm getting sick again. I got this congestion thing now, a runny nose
Yeah.
thing now. Like the voice is coming back.
Like, I
Now everything
laugh
else
like
is
I didn't
shut
go
down.
through the whole process. But you know what? I don't understand how you're going through the whole process again. It's starting
I
over
know
on you.
it's just staying in my
And
throat,
you were the one
man.
that laughed last because you were the last one to get it. And you're like, ha, I'm not getting it. Everybody else is getting it. Now look at you. You're getting it your second time around.
This is rough. Like my boss, he came back from like a 2 week vacation. He was like, "Hey God, your voice is still jacked up." I'm like, "Yeah," and it got worse throughout the day today. And he was like, "Hey Whispers, where are you at?" I'm like, "Come on now,
Yeah, your little whispers.
that's fucked up, man."
I think from now on you'll be whispers on the show.
You know what? You can call me whatever you want.
At least for today. Today you're
You
commemoratively
call
known as
me
Whispers.
Whispers. That can be my new name on the show. I don't care. I'll lean into that shit.
Are you at? Are you at
Yeah,
the studio today?
I'm at the studio. You didn't. Wow. Wow.
With the roaming mobile app, I can barely
I
keep
know.
track of you.
You never know where I broadcast from.
So Pitt gets back at it last night. They're at the point now where they got to start winning some basketball games. Of
Yeah.
course, they get Florida State comes to town. Florida State's riding a 15-15 record. Pitt with Aaron Donald in the on court side there watching the game.
That's why they won.
Pitt ends out getting their they accomplished 20 wins for the second consecutive season, which is the first time they did that in 10 years. So that's a good thing.
That's
They're right
positive.
now, 10 losses only. Blake Hinson breaks the Pitt single season 3-point record at Pitt with 103. He had his
Wow.
103rd three last night in the game. And what a lot of people, and Mike, something that we've, failed to talk about is, some of these other teams, as we're trying to get in, what they're doing.
Yeah.
We're getting some help because some bubble teams lost as well, along with our win. So, the Pitt Panthers are not in bad shape, guys. They're really
No.
not. They got a, you know, they got they finish up with North Carolina State on Saturday.
Yeah.
You win this game, you go to the ACC tournament. Now we're in a position that if we win on Saturday, we can be a team that gets a bye
That's
in the
huge.
ACC tournament.
That's
But
huge.
guys, stop and think about this for a second. Do you want them to skip the first round, don't get a team that's totally beatable from the bottom of the conference, and then get the second round game where,
Yeah.
the better team comes up? And what if you lose that game? I think I would rather them go without the tour or without the bye, beat a team, because if you listen, you win this game coming up on Saturday, that's 22 wins. And if you could win a one game, let's just say one game, for example, against a lesser team in the ACC tournament, that's 23 wins. It's going to be hard to turn away an ACC team with 23 wins, especially if they are letting the five teams in again
Yeah.
from the ACC. And at this point, it would, let me see, I had it written down somewhere. North Carolina, if that would be the case at this point, North Carolina, Duke, and Clemson would be in at this point. That's three. Virginia is probably going to be four, depending. It could not play out that way. And then it would be Wake Forest or Pitt, or no, let me see. Virginia, yeah, Wake Forest or Pitt
Yeah.
could be that fifth team. So I mean, there are some things going in our favor here. We do have some. So my question is, do you want that bye and not play
Yeah.
anybody, or go and make sure you get that 23rd win? If, like I said, if you get 23 wins, you're in the top five out of the ACC. You're probably going to go to the big dance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know.
Because you don't want to go in one and done.
No.
You go out 1-1. Ideally, for me, Pitt winning two games in the ACC tournament, I think that puts them in a much better position. So maybe, don't get that first round bye. Don't get that week off. Just keep playing. Because you see this, times, I don't think a Pitt's the kind of team that can afford to have that bye, that day off, and then pick up where they left off playing
Right.
wise. If they go in on a roll, you want to keep that momentum going, play that first game win, and I think they could win that second round game, go 2-1 in the tournament, give them 24 wins, and help their resume. Because right now, I think on Bracketology on ESPN, they're that fourth that in that first four out, they're in that top four
They are
just on the
actually.
bubble, and I think that would make winning two rounds in the tournament. That would help them be that fourth team in or the
They
fifth
are in
team
the
in.
next four out
Yeah.
column
Oh, next four out.
alongside
Okay.
with Colorado, Drake, and Memphis. So,
Because I
as I
know they're
said,
moving up. I think it might have been on CBS. They were CBS, their first four out, or ESPN, they're the
when
second
this
four out. So
game
it's in their
against
range.
North Carolina State is huge.
Yeah.
Winning this game is huge.
That's what
Because
they have to win.
I mean,
Their must-win games right now, their margin of error is like zero.
now get this. If this is even this is even crazier. Now Pitt could get a double bye in the ACC tournament if Pitt wins on Saturday and a Georgia Tech win over Virginia or a Wake Forest win over Clemson. So if this
Ooh.
plays out, Pitt can beat North Carolina State on Saturday, and a Georgia Tech win over Virginia or a Wake Forest win over Clemson gets Pitt the double bye. Now, how are you feeling? Because okay, yeah, you would have to play a better team in that round. However, you're one step closer to the end of the tournament. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So on one hand, you would like not to have that game because you want to win, the first game just to get a win under your belt. But on the other hand, if you get it falls in this situation and you get a double bye, you're just one step closer to, you're only a game or two away from the championship, the ACC championship game. So, Pitt, they put themselves in a position to where they could be successful and they could make something happen. But I guess the underlining thing of the whole matter is they have to beat North Carolina State Saturday, and it's very probable. They play 7:45 on Saturday at home against the Wolfpack. And as I said, Mike, there's quite a few things that can happen. They could end up in a double bye. They could end up
Yeah.
in a bye. They could end up in just a regular, or they could screw the pooch and end up missing the whole big tournament.
Yeah.
So, plenty of things could happen with just one game left in the season.
That's wild that the all those scenarios. But I still say for this team, make you want to play every play that first round, keep the momentum going. I think that's the best option for. I double buy. I that's worst case scenario. Being off for I don't know how many days
Days.
that's going to be. That's I no. I'd rather
About 4
if they're going to get
days.
a buy, just the one game buy. But I think
Yeah.
ideally, I just want this team to keep playing, keep stay fresh, stay on.
Yeah, it's not like they're Duke or not like they're North Carolina
Yeah, to where
where
they
you
can
really feel that the bye
take
can
the
help you
yeah.
because they have this really good team and you can sit back, scout, rest a little bit. But I think you're right. I think Pitt needs to be able to carry momentum moving forward.
Yeah.
Taking that extra time off. I don't know if it would be a good thing for a Pitt Panther team at this point, but like I said, you beat North Carolina State Saturday. You put yourself in a good position for things that moving forward, guys. And as I said, North Carolina State is a very beatable team for Pitt. That's it all. The whole journey starts on 7:40,
Yeah.
7:45 on Saturday.
I would say that loss, what, last week? Was it last week to Wake Forest? This is looming large.
Absolutely.
That
And
was just a kick in the teeth.
the Syracuse losses. There's
Yeah.
definitely losses along the way that hurt, but at the end of the day, we're sitting here at 21 and 10
Yeah.
in the
It's not a bad
ACC.
season.
And you got to realize that this team got that. Now, listen, here's another thing that's going to be a kicker. They have the most high quality wins in the country on the road.
Yeah.
Nobody has better wins on the road and against, the rank, the where the teams are that they played and beat on the road. So that helps out tremendously. So let's say you win this game, you get an ACC win. It comes down to us, or they're doing the selection Sunday next weekend, and it comes down to us and Wake Forest. And people say, well, you know what, Wake Forest beat them up pretty bad that last time. However, Pitt beat Wake Forest the first time around.
Yeah.
Plus, they got all these quality road wins, which is it goes a long way.
Yeah.
Better
And
resume.
Isn't it like I don't know if it was the most recent updating of where they are in the bracketology, but like in the group that they're in, they have like the best net rating.
They do.
And but yet they were at like the one that I saw, they were at the bottom of their group. Like they would be that last one out. And it's like it's just weird. Like they have all this good stuff going for them, but yet they're not getting the respect in the like these in everyone's bracketology.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. It feels so convoluted anymore.
So I mean that's how it plays out, guys. Here they
Yeah.
are, 21-10, coming off an 88-73 win over Florida State yesterday. The Pete was bumping, I guess. I guess it was a big game. A lot of things going on. As I said, Aaron Donald was sitting courtside.
You
Pitt.
don't want to lose when Aaron Donald's in that in the building because he might just whoop your
No.
ass.
He spends a lot of time up there.
He does. I think he's getting ready to retire. Spend more time back at the university.
Hey, that's all right. Retire. That way he could start his 5-year clock and he could get in the Hall of Fame.
I think he should be, like in hockey, they do it a lot. Like you get that they waive that waiting period.
Yeah.
Like they did it for Lemieux. When Jagr ever retires, they'll probably do it for him. Same thing for like Crosby. The NFL should do that for certain players. Like Brady, I'm sorry, he shouldn't have to wait 5 years. Aaron Donald shouldn't have to wait 5 years.
You make Brady wait. I don't
For all
know. Bastard.
that cheating.
I'd make a 15-year wait for him.
Because you know you're going in, Tom. Just let some other people go in.
Yeah,
Or
you've
they'll
already.
time it to where him and Gronk go in together.
Right.
So the Pirates, they were back at it yesterday, guys. Now there's so far in all three of these games, as I said, Pittsburgh got the sweep yesterday. If you don't have the Steelers playing, I guess the next big thing is winning all, getting a Pittsburgh
Yeah.
sweep.
Right.
And
Hey,
we
we'll
did this
take
with our
it.
Penguins, our Pirates, our Panthers. The Pirates, they win now. They're six and they won 6-5 over the Blue Jays. O'Neal Cruz hits his first missile.
Yep.
He hits one out. TC Chang, he hit another home run. And then also Paguero, he hit a home run. So now that they had 18 home
Yeah.
runs yesterday, we were talking about they led the whole entire majors in spring training. Now they have 21 home runs. Paguero also gets two hits along with his home run. Big stacks, no hits, picking up
He's
where he left off.
in mid-season form,
Midseason
baby.
form. Look at big stacks.
Big
162.
Derby said that at game 160 last year,
Yeah.
acting like the Pirates had a chance to make a little move.
The Pirates, they start their they play the Orioles today. They play at 6:05. They get a chance to see a pretty good Oriole team. A lot of people are saying they're probably going to be the best team in the league this year. And this is actually who the Pirates open up against on opening weekend.
Ooh.
I don't like this cross playing in the American League and opening. Whenever I'm playing, just playing
Yeah.
a division opponent or something to get the season started,
Exactly. Like let's like the Reds,
Money.
This feels like it's like, sending the Steelers to play the 49ers in week one.
Don't go. I'm having
You don't
flashbacks.
even talk about
kind of set them up
it.
for failure. But the opening weekend on April 4th through the 7th,
Excuse
Pittsburgh
me.
Pirates do kick it off against the Baltimore Orioles. But again, guys, you got to like the things that you are seeing.
Yeah.
Again, O'Neal Cruz getting that home runs big, seeing him back out there doing some amazing things is going to be a blast. Paguero, when he came in last year and he was filling in, I thought he was very productive. So here you go. You got these Pirates guys.
Yeah. Like I said yesterday, man, a half a run produced and a half run less given up. This team is in a really good spot. It's strange to say. I'm not, saying they're gonna be this great team, but they can be competitive ball club.
You gotta get a better arm though.
They Dirt, you're right. We've been harping on that, man. They need another starting pitcher.
Yeah, makes you wonder, you know. What are they doing? They got to know
Yeah,
this.
because it like there's guys out there that even if you get them as a rental for half a season before you trade them away, go ahead and do that. Because you might put yourself in a position to where you can be a buyer at the deadline instead of a seller, or at
One thing
least,
that I am noticing, though, Mike,
stay the same.
of all the
Did
possible
Syndergaard sign to someone?
starting position, or out of all the possible starting pitchers for the rotation, I think Quinn Priester is going to land in there, to be honest. I think it's going to be Mitch Keller,
Yeah.
Quinn Priester, probably Ortiz. I mean, he's been smoking
Yeah.
people this spring training. Then you always go, you got Contreras, who was in the rotation last year. He's a possibility. And then you have all these left-handers. And as I'm reading this article, and I'm like, these are the people that may be on in the Pirates rotation. It was one left-hander after another left-hander after another left-hander. And unless you have something really special coming from the southpaw side of the mound, it's very rare that you'll get a couple left-handed pitchers, especially for a team like the Pirates. They're most of the time, if you go back, it's four right-handed pitchers and a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
So if they unless they have something really special, I think it's going to be the same. I think you're going to get your four righties, your one lefty. But as I said, if you go down the list, there's a bunch of southpaws. So, maybe somebody could step it up from, one of the lefties, and we could get multiple left-handed pitchers. But I do think Quinn Priester, Mitch Keller, and as I said, as of right now, from what I'm seeing in spring training, Ortiz looks very, very possible. And again, Contreras has the experience. He was in the rotation last year. Yes, they do need arms, but what they have right now, it could be semi-successful. I think that they could certainly avoid being a cellar dweller, and especially with teams like the Cardinals, they stink again. And if one of these other teams in the division stink, and it's going to come down to us and one other team. Have you ever noticed the Pittsburgh Pirates never had ever had a successful season where it wasn't between them and another team in the division, as for example, like the Braves, who could win their
Yeah.
division by, 25 games.
Yeah.
It's going to be neck and neck with somebody, whoever it's going to be. But nobody in this division really blows you away. So you think, all right, if the Pirates could play semi-decent baseball, they could be, they could be in the mention come August. And that's the best we could hope for, I guess.
Yeah, like Blake Snell's still out there. Like float a shit ton of money out of him for a 1 year deal. See what happens.
Well, he
That
would
would
have to be at
shore
the
up your
back though.
rotation. And you know what? If you're not in contention, go ahead and trade him to a contender.
Yeah.
I like the no good man.
I'm just, I know it's a pipe dream. It's probably not going to happen, but my God, try it. What's the worst that can happen? He says no, and you get publicly rebuked. At least you're showing your fans that, hey, we're going after one of the best players available that's still sitting out there.
Yeah.
I don't think he's number one anymore, though. No,
What's
but
that?
my God, he would fit in on this rotation. He'd be a great addition. And he
Yeah.
would be, like typical Pirates though too, he would be a great piece to have at the trade deadline.
Right.
If they think that, okay, you know what, we're not gonna be able to, do anything in the second half, go ahead and trade him. Or you hold on to him and see what happens, and what happens happens. If he goes away next year, he goes away next year.
Yeah. And as you said, you're basically looking for somebody to complement what we have. Pirates open the season versus Miami, not Baltimore. I think the home series, Bri. Good morning, by the way.
Yeah, it's home. We
They
open home.
their opening home series is against Baltimore. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Yeah.
But
That'll probably
it would be it's that
Burns.
one arm. You need that one arm to supplement what it is that you have going on. And as I said, your Mitch Keller is going to be he's going to be your ace. We already know that. He's already been given the beer bottle from coach, saying that he's going to be starting on day one. And as I said, if Quinn Priester could show signs of what he was doing last year, he was a high pick. He finally got an opportunity to pitch in the majors. He had his ups, he had his downs. So hopefully, if he could progress and move forward and be a more productive pitcher.
Yeah.
And as I said, I really believe that Ortiz at this point, I know he's thrown about five scoreless innings through a bunch of strikeouts so far. So, at this point, if you got to base off of what performance you've seen, so far in spring training, those would be my three starters right off the top. Vince Velasquez isn't out of the question. He is a free agent, but he started off hot last year. He got hurt, ended up missing three quarters of the season. So we have situations, but
Yeah.
as you said, if you could go out and get one more quality arm, I believe that that they're going to have their rotation. Again, they're probably going to start their one lefty, so whoever the best of the lefties they have are. But I think that's going to be your rotation. I really don't see them going outside of the box. I don't see them making that splash
Yeah.
move to get that guy. It really looks like
Right.
that's going to be your five guys.
Rich Hill's still available.
Oh, come on.
Dick Mountain,
Get
baby.
him.
Run it
Get
back.
him.
Run it back with Dick Mountain.
The only reason oh God, I don't know if I could do that. The thing about
Okay.
Dick Mountain, he was winning baseball games, though. That was the
Yeah.
problem with him.
Yeah.
He was out there sweating his ass off after four pitches, but he was a
Yeah.
trooper.
I got something interesting, guys. This here, now you got to say, Derby, for example, he's always been a Cleveland fan, and which is all right. You could, follow who you want. The Indians, I'm sorry, who are they? The Guardians. And he might say to himself, because he hasn't followed the Pirates the way that we have, he might say, well, the Pirates aren't that bad. I mean, they've won some games. Well, I'm going to
I love
tell
the
you,
park.
this is from 20 to 23, four seasons, okay? 20, 21, 22, 23. This is your overall standings in the majors for those four seasons. If you just want an idea how bad the Pirates are, Derby, just to remind you.
I'm prepared. I am prepared for this.
Over those 4 years, they're 218 and 328. Okay. This, you say to yourself, this is, I expect that. That's not that bad.
That's expected.
It's one game better than the worst team, who is the Washington Nationals, who in that same period of time is 217 and 329. One game better than the Nationals, and the Nationals are the absolute worst team over the past four seasons. Now you want to hear something a little. This is with a 399. They have a 399 winning percentage, 39%. Now get this. Guess how many games they're behind? How many games behind in the division that record puts them at? For example, at the end of the year, you're this and this, and you're, 15 games out of first place.
175.
Well, holy crap. No.
That's more.
175 games out of first place? I don't even know. Is that possible?
Oh,
No.
I thought you meant like the aggregate of what they would, because you said it was like three.
It is. It's if they, you would put all the teams, let me put it
Yeah.
this way. The Brewers were the first place team in the division over that period of time with a 302 and 244 record. The Cardinals are 17 games behind them over that accumulated period of time.
Oh, something.
The Cubs are 40. The Reds are 44. The Pirates, 84 games out of
I
first
was
place.
close. I was
He
close.
was close enough.
And I'm looking, and even though the Colorado Rockies finished with a better record over those 4 years, the Rockies finished behind the Dodgers, who's the first team in their division, the NL West, at 132 and a half games behind. So, I mean, I guess that's getting closer to what you were saying.
See, look, I just didn't realize how bad the NL Central was.
I'm sorry, the
NL
Nationals,
Central worse.
the one team that
That's
finished
true.
ahead of or behind us, 111 and a half games behind the Braves in that division.
Atlanta was on fire. Has been on fire.
Now, Cleveland Derby.
Yep.
Cleveland. Over that same period of time, Mike, in the AL Central, the first place team over the past 4 years with an accumulated record, Cleveland, 283 and 263 with a 51% win percentage. And the next closest team behind them, Mike, after four seasons, would
Minnesota
be the
Twins.
Twins, nine games back.
Oh, wow.
So there you go, Derpy.
There's something positive.
There's something ready for you. But the Pirates, 218 and 328, only one game better And the Washington Nationals finished with their 217 and 329 record. Again, 39% winning percentage, Mike. 39. You're winning less than four out of every 10 games.
That's a you know what? That's a recipe for success right there.
Right.
You know, the part that's...
We're just going to keep everything the same. We're going to keep the same GM, same coaching staff.
Yeah, they, you know,
baseball, you gotta love it.
In cities that are serious about their baseball, they, you know, this would be called for firings and firing GMs and over, you know, sell the business and sell your.
But you know,
not here.
Not here. When the team's a money making scheme for the billionaire owner, it's just it is what it is.
It could be worse.
Standing operating procedure.
It could be
worse.
Yeah, you could be Washington. I guess I don't know how it could be worse.
It could be the A's.
Well, the A's.
You know, I'd rather be a fan of the A's right now. At least my team's moving somewhere near where they're going to spend money and have a good team.
The A's
may
are
not
20.
Be in my city, but I'm just watching.
The A's are 20 games better than the Pirates over that period of time, Derby.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
They got only because they had a, what, bad, what, this season and last season.
Okay, 14 games. They have 232 wins over that period of time, and the Pirates have 218. And, again, I think the thing that really fogs this up is, people go, well, we did have the playoff team 10 years ago. We did go to the playoffs 3 years in a row. That well, you failed to mention that, you know, seriously, the past 4 years, there literally is nobody worse than you. Maybe I think it's worst. Time to stop talking about 2013. It's time to stop talking about 2013, 14, and 15.
And stop, you know, going Cueto, that, you know.
Well, Mike, that was one of the most amazing
moments
in sports in Pittsburgh. Because let me tell you why. That was the first playoff game ever played at PNC Park. It was the first game in, what, 30 years at that point that they made the postseason. For that to all happen the way that it did with Cueto dropping his balls everywhere and Marlon Byrd and Russell Martin going back-to-back, that was one of the bigger games in Pittsburgh history, especially played in Pittsburgh. Because a lot of times, you know, these other games, you win all your Super Bowls, you know, your neutral site, the Penguins, they never won a Stanley Cup at home. The fact that this happened, you know, in Pittsburgh.
So by default.
the way, what's that?
By default. You know, what? It's the big moment in Pittsburgh by default. You know,
well, I mean.
Super Bowls are neutral site.
I mean, well, this wasn't a World Series. We won World Series before. But, you know, the thing is, it is one of the – that was one of the bigger sporting events and bigger wins in Pittsburgh history in the zone of Pittsburgh. I honestly believe that.
Yeah,
I was there.
It did, but like in a vacuum, it's nice, but in the grand scheme of things, it didn't amount to anything.
I almost
for the team.
I almost got fired for that game.
Do you think you say that I watched it?
What'd you do?
Well, I was at work and you know, I worked at where I worked at for, you know, many, many years, almost two decades. And when the Pirates made the playoffs, they played on October 1st, 2013 at home against the Reds, and I worked that evening. I ended up getting tickets. I got tickets right behind the Reds dugout. And after I bought the tickets, I told my boss that I wasn't going to be at work that night. Well, I was, you know, like I said, I was running the joint.
No.
And he really, he threatened me. He told me my job was on the line if I would call off. You know what? I called off.
Hell yeah.
Because it was such a big, it was being a Pittsburgher, it was such a big moment.
Yeah.
Right. I really felt the need to be there. And I was there, and I'm glad I was there. It would probably, like I said, it was definitely the biggest Pittsburgh game I've ever been at. But I did. I put it on the line. And you know what? I didn't get out. I didn't end up getting fired. So
there you go.
There you go. Sometimes you have to push back.
Yeah, that was like the defining moment of that game is you didn't get fired.
Well, that's because I got to give Brandon Phillips the shit all game.
There
you go.
I did.
There you go.
Every time. Yeah. I was right, like, whenever – if you're coming into the away dugout, you have like you know the fence, you know, the poles, the bars that are up in front of the dugout with the guy. Well, the opening, one of them was right in front of me, and that's where Brandon Phillips came down the steps after every inning, and oh, I was giving him the shit good, man. I'm glad I was giving him the shit. He heard me too a couple times. I was so loud and obnoxious, and I knew because everyone else was looking at me. But you go and you get excited and you get that beer in you and you're drinking and you're having fun. And I seen him look up two different times as he was coming into the dugout because
there
I was
you
yelling
go.
At him.
You were in his head.
I was in his head. You know what? He stunk that game. I don't remember what happened, but
He
I just,
did.
I remember he stunk. He didn't do anything. So I was in his head, guys.
You can thank Ryan for the win.
Thank me for the win.
You're the true hero of that game.
If you're gonna remember anything about that game, remember me and Cueto's balls. So it was a good time. Great time right behind the dugout in the Pirate Parrot, who I had came for my son. I had hired the Pirate Parrot that summer for my son's birthday. Get this. In the Pirate Parrot, he comes to the house and everything, and he does his thing and he dances with the kids and that. So I'm sitting behind the dugout at this at that game. And that guy that was the Pirate Parrot comes running up the steps. I was right on the edge. I was right on the steps, and I was right in front of the dugouts. I was like right there in the corner. And he comes running because he was one of the entertainers. You know how they get up on top of the dugouts and they dance and everything in between innings. We both looked at each other in the eye and I thought, oh my God, that's the guy that was the Pirate Parrot at my house. And I go, hey. And he looks at me and his eyes get big. He goes, hey. He goes, you got great seats, man. I'm like, hey, thanks, man. But it was just so weird. Like, what's the chances that guy who played the Pirate Parrot that day that came to my house for the
Was the
birthday ended
guy
out?
for in your section?
Yeah. And we
Wasn't
spoke
that
to one
that guy?
another, you know? At the game in front of, you know, I mean, there was what 40,000 people, everybody, but it was something, like I said, it was just such a cool experience for me. I don't think I'll ever forget, guys. I did see some other cool events, like when Turner Ward, remember when Turner Ward ran through the outfield wall?
You
I
were
was
at that
there.
game.
I was there. I was there when Turner Ward, I was walking around with my girlfriend outside at Three River Stadium at the time, around the rings, you know, not in the bleachers themselves, and everyone's going crazy. And we run up into the aisle and we look and there's a big, you know, big hole in the wall. And Turner Ward comes limping out and he throws the ball like this and he just drops. Like, what the fuck did I
Yeah,
just
I
miss?
remember watching that. I was watching that game live when it happened.
And it was
It's
against the
nuts.
Dodgers, Mike Piazza Dodgers. And I was there. It was so freaking weird. I thought, what's the chances? Back in the 80s when Daryl Strawberry charged the mound and got Bob Kipper in a headlock and was punching him in the head. I was there. I shit you not, Mets and the Pirates. I was a big Mets fan as a kid. And Bob Kipper clonked Daryl Strawberry, and Strawberry just charged the mound, got him in a headlock, and started beating him in the head. I was there. So I've got to be some pretty, you know, bizarre games, which again, very, very excited about it, being a Pittsburgh fan. And but ultimately, guys, I think that playoff game would be the best thing that I would have to say that I've been to. If I ever get to a Super Bowl to see the Steelers win, I think that would be the icing on the
Yeah,
cake.
that would be the best.
Who knows if that'll ever happen, you know, for many reasons.
This year, baby.
This year.
This year, Russell Wilson's leading us to the promised land, baby.
Mike, we will talk a little bit more about him. Let's go through this Penguins first.
Oh,
Penguins,
God.
Mike, they
You're the
break their
expert, Mike.
3-game losing streak. They beat the Blue Jackets last night 5-3. Their record now is 28-24-8. Riley Smith, he scores his 500th point last night. He gets a goal. Malkin gets a goal. Jeff Carter gets a goal. Raquel, and then that kid with the long, that Puljavri. He gets his first goal. Penguins, they beat these Blue Jackets. It's a game that, I mean, you got to win if you're planning on ultimately getting back into this thing. But one thing that I heard, one thing that I'm seeing Mike I picked up from this is the Jake Guentzel rumors are heating up, even with him, you know, dealing with the injury. And Mike, does he make it through the trade deadline here in Pittsburgh? Is
No.
it, you think he's
No,
gone?
he's good as gone. He's good as gone. We beat Columbus, yay. But the hill they the hole they dug themselves in is too deep. They cannot get themselves out. Now it is time for more or less a fire sale of who you can get it or what you can get for who you can get. And what it's looking like is they're Dubas is not looking for quantity coming back. All these draft picks, all these prospects. He wants quality coming back. He wants, guys that are ready to play in the NHL now. He wants a top prospect and at least a first or second round pick. So he wants one guy or two guys that are ready to play immediately, someone ready for the next year or two, and then a draft pick after. Whereas, for someone like Gensel, you can usually get a first, second, this player, that prospect. No, he wants quality. And it's looking like a couple GMs are willing to listen to see what they give, that are willing to give up to get him. Vancouver's high on the list, and that's very interesting because that's where Jim Rutherford is now running the hockey operations. A couple ex-Penguins in the front office are there. I think Rick Tocchet's there. So they all know Jake Guentzel. And we all know Jim Rutherford doesn't give a fuck about draft picks, doesn't give a fuck about prospects. If he wants a player that he thinks can help his team win, he will do what it takes. And
Well, let
I
me
wouldn't be
ask you this.
surprised if he gives up a couple of their better young players to get Guentzel for a year or
Let
half
me
a
ask you
year.
this, though. Now, if you're an owner, you're a GM, and you're trying to do what's best and start to make this team better, don't you think maybe keeping Guentzel as your is a main piece and start figuring out ways to, do what you got to do with these older guys and move forward? Because again, until they're done in their entirety, Mike. You want them again and again. You want these guys to finish off and ride off into the sunset on their horse, but at the end of the day, that may not happen, and we might just be buying jersey numbers, basically. The fans showing up to see their Letangs, their Malkins, players like this. So, ultimately, wouldn't it be a better idea to keep somebody like him, who is a young talent, who's done nothing but great things since he's been on the Penguins? I think he was on both of those Stanley Cup teams,
Was a lot of them.
and very, very productive, and just a great quality player from then to now. Where these other guys, they don't have much life at the end of their road here. I mean, wouldn't keeping him around make more sense as you're trying to move forward as the Pittsburgh Penguins? Or, like I said, you get rid of him, you bring in a couple other guys, there's no guarantees. You know what you got with Jake Guentzel, and these other guys may only have another year or two or whatever they have left in the tank. To me, it seems like he's a guy you want to keep around.
The thing though with Guentzel, he needs a new contract. He's going to want, 6, 7, 8 year deal. He's 28 years old now. You're going to be right back in the position you are with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, because those guys aren't going anywhere. You cannot trade them. You can't do anything with them. They have no movement clauses. And you're stuck with Malkin's contract for another year or 2 years. You're stuck with Letang for another 3 years. Crosby, I think, only has like 1 year after this. And Guentzel, like I said, he's 28. By the time his contract's going to be over on a new one, he's going to be 35, 36. So he's not a young guy anymore. He's.
Well, he falls into the category at that point of the second wind of this Penguins team. Of course, the 08, the 09 team, when they were young guys, which is where I would put Guentzel in his first run. He then falls into the category of this group of guys in their second run when they were all 28, 29 years old in the Predators and in the Sharks finals. So, I mean, yes, he would be getting older. I think he still falls into the category of, that's a good time you would want a player like him.
But he's going to want too much for too long. And the way he plays for how small he is, how much longer can he keep playing the way he does? It going into those high danger areas, taking the big hits that he does. I think if you, like I said, we're stuck with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang. This is what they wanted. This is what the team wanted. This is what the fans wanted.
Yeah, and of
Well,
course,
that leaves, you gotta rebuild somewhere. And that, unfortunately, you have to move Guentzel. You have to move Peterson. You might have to move Jari to get younger players to, rebuild on the fly.
it's going to be difficult because these guys, your Guentzels and your Jaries, these are perfect starting pieces for building a team around and with guys like this. And it's just unfortunate we're going to be stuck with the older guys who just aren't getting it done anymore. When you could use these pieces and then start to build around them, could you imagine if you didn't have two of those guys, for example,
If
and you
you would be able to keep Guentzel, be able to keep
right.
Peterson and actually go out in free agency and get some guys. But now we can't, so we got to do what we got to do. And unfortunately, the hand that Dubas has dealt is there's only you're stuck with those high end contracts, so you gotta deal Guentzel. But there's no like he's gonna be a rental, he's gonna be a free agent,
So let me
so
ask you this,
he
Mike.
could come back in free agency.
So basically, we're in a situation as fans here in Pittsburgh, as Penguin fans, Just say, hey, this is what we've got to accept at this point. We're gonna watch these greats finish out their career.
Yep.
Whether they may or may not be able to perform enough, we're still gonna go see the Letangs. We're still gonna go see the Malkins. We're still gonna go see the Crosbys, and that's just something we have to deal with. It's very possible, Mike, that this team that went to the playoffs 17, 18 years in a row could miss the playoffs for 2 years in a row. If that doesn't speak volumes of what's going on. So we're basically just going to ride this out with our hands on, sitting on our hands and just enjoying the jerseys.
Yeah. Cause they tied themselves to the aging stars where they should have only kept one. And that was Crosby. Sorry, Malkin, Letang. They are expendable. Crosby is your franchise. You would free up so much money if you weren't paying Malkin or Letang and Letang.
So the Penguins are back in action tomorrow night at home when the Washington Capitals come to town at 7 p.m. And the Penguins beat the Blue Jackets 5-3 last night. They upped their record to 28, 24, and 8. I think that's about 60 games. They have about 22 games left. I have seen no sign of this team being able to put together a legit run. Uh-uh. I mean, they've won on streaks, but you know what? When it comes down to it, I feel that this is the same kind of team performance-wise is the team last year where you need to either beat Columbus or beat another
Chicago
bad team.
At the time. Yeah.
And they couldn't get it done. This is the vibe I get from this Penguins team, Mike. And again, it's just unfortunate because there is a lot of, this is what we have with this Penguin team where in the past, it seems like, somebody was always able to come and save the day. Somebody was able to, pull in somebody at the trade deadline or make other things happen.
Yeah.
To where they weren't out of it, but it's
they,
it's
they
a,
got, they,
a hopeless feeling with this Penguins team.
It is, yeah, and this is why they're a big segment of the fans were like saying no, it was stupid to bring back Letang and Malkin. Both you could one or the other, you would have been fine because you would have had more cap space to work with. But you brought them both back. You wanted your nostalgia run. You wanted them to all retire together. Just Penguins fans, you got what you wanted. You got the rational fans know. Like, no, stars come and go, players come and go. It's very rare.
They wanted those three guys to be around to the end of time together.
It makes no sense. You have to move on from some of these guys.
Franco Harris
better.
Moved on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Joe Montana, arguably the greatest quarterback until Brady came around.
Tell
retired
Tom Brady.
As a Kansas City Chief.
Yeah.
And Brady moved on.
Yeah.
It's very rare. Wayne Gretzky moved on how many times?
Yeah.
Lemieux is.
Yeah.
The exception to the rule. Crosby might be the exception to the rule, but that's not set in stone. So it happens. They move on. You accept it sucks, but you accept that, hey, they're going to move on. You remember the great times that they gave to you, but you realize, hey, I want my team, the team I root for is more important than the player.
Mike, the Steelers, after having no forced turnovers 2 seasons ago by their inside linebackers collectively last season forced 19 fumbles, which was second in the NFL. So my question is this: you have Kwan, he's a free agent, you have Holcomb coming back. How realistic do you think a possibility of getting somebody like Patrick Queen, which I seen yesterday pop up a few times,
he would be?
Listen to these numbers from last year. Career high, 133 tackles, an interception, 6 pass defensed, 3.5 sacks on a defense that allowed the fewest amount of points.
Yeah.
With the linebacker position situation we have, we're uncertain because of some of these, these injury-prone guys. If you could pull a Patrick Queen, pair him next side of Landon Roberts.
Yeah.
Now, this is where I all started from 2 years ago when we couldn't get our linebackers to force a fumble, an interception, anything.
Yeah.
They had no turnovers. Mike, Patrick Queen, and I know he's not going to be easy to get, and I know that. But you know what? We're freeing up some money. We're going to be.
Yeah.
I think we're in a decent place here as far as our money goes going into free agency. Mike, if you shore up that position with Patrick Queen, and you go after your cornerback who's going to be opposite Joey Porter Jr.,
mm-hmm.
and you got your T.J. Watt, and this defense would really have potential to be a top grade defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of defense that this team is going to need moving forward with, the offense constantly experimenting, trying different things and trying to get better. Mike, I seen that name come across amongst many other names that came across that's going to be free agents.
Yeah.
I thought if the Steelers could pull a Patrick Queen, who on top of our would piss the hell out of, I mean,
Oh,
Baltimore,
Baltimore. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
they hate us more than they already do. But that middle linebacker position, Mike, Patrick Queen, what do you think?
I'm all for it. When I got earlier in the season when Baltimore said they weren't going to pick up his fifth year option, I'm like, he has Steeler
He
written
has
all
Steeler written
over.
all that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
That feels like a Steeler
he was
linebacker.
born to be a Steeler or a Raven. Oh, he was a Raven. Come be a Steeler now. Fulfill your destiny, because like you said, him and Landon Roberts, and then you get
Oh.
Holcomb back. That is a nice trio. Mark Robinson, he's a nice. See the way he plays against the run. That's a nice foursome right
Alongside
there.
your starters, which are Highsmith and Watt,
What? No, but and then
alongside
with
their backups,
Nate
who could
Herbig,
potentially
and
be Herbig and Golden, providing they
if
sign
Golden comes
Golden
back,
back.
yeah, that's a nice. Then you just got to worry about the front. You got
I'm
Keanu
worried
Benn.
about the front, Mike. I'm very worried about the front.
Because right there in the 3-4, you need those three up front to eat up blockers. And if they can't, you can have those four linebackers, five linebackers. You're not going to do much when the guards are getting to the second level. But
With an aging
I like it.
Cam,
But this is why that contract for Highsmith is a bad contract.
I
It's
agree.
limiting you to get someone like a Patrick Queen, who's a
Yeah.
much better, more dynamic player than Alex Highsmith. Because
Absolutely.
you can run it. Patrick Queen, Robert slash Holcomb, TJ Watt, and Herbig, or a Golden, and you would be in a much better
That's
position
nasty.
than you are
And
with
as I
Highsmith and the
mentioned,
inside backers we have now.
say you get yourself another corner, which they very may well do to play opposite JPJ.
Yeah.
Then you have Minka, and then let's say you bring in a Jordan Whitehead.
Whitehead or Terrell Edmonds. That's one of those two safeties. That's a
It's that
damn good
defensive
secondary.
line that becomes
Yeah.
your Achilles
That's the
heel
weak
of the
link.
whole team.
Yeah.
Because again, you're gonna need your defense to
Yeah.
perform because the offense, who knows what we don't know what the offense is gonna bring. We don't know. They could be
Yeah.
come on, they could be very successful. We could all be very satisfied. They could
Yeah.
come out, they could shit the bed. We're all gonna hate everybody. But at the end of the day, the defense is gonna need to hold up that back end for any situation for the Steeler team next year.
I'm pulling up the free agent list right now. I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, Christian
Baker's out there.
Wilkins, the D tackle from the Dolphins.
Yeah.
He
He would
like
be
if you can't get
perfect.
Patrick Queen, I'd get him, and then I'd run back Holcomb, Roberts, get a second tier linebacker again, and get but pick one up in the draft. And I think him, Keanu Benton, and hopefully a healthy, more productive Cam Hayward with an Ogunjobi mixed in there
Mike,
too.
I would love to see
That's a
Cam
great
Hayward have
defensive line.
a career season. If
I
Cam
would
Hayward
too. I'm not a big fan of him, but I want
I
him
would
to
stop my
for the
shit talking. If
team.
he would come out and have a
Yes.
career season this year, I would stop
Me
talking shit.
too. Me too. We've channeled that Cam Hayward of 2017 pre-playoff collapse against the Jaguars. I will take that.
But then I would talk shit again afterwards. But
Oh, me
for that
too.
period of time, I would be
But
fine.
yeah, but like in 3, 4 minutes, all about that front three. And you get someone like you're gonna have to pay a lot of money for that Christian Wilkins, but you get him, move Benton to the outside to the end, Hayward on the other the end, Ogunjobi back rotating through. That's a good three, four guys right there. Yes, you won't be able to get Patrick Queen, but the linebackers they have now would be solid
Solid.
with that line right
If that,
there.
I tell you what, if the linebackers we have now weren't injury prone, we would be in good
I
shape
that's the
linebacker
that's the
wise.
that's the
I
problem.
know.
And you know what? It
Yeah.
was the worst case scenario that things played out the way they did this year, and those
Yeah.
guys came and they got hurt.
They were
Now that's
gone.
in
You
your
saw the
mind
way Elaine, you saw the way
because
Holcomb was
last
playing.
year we could have said to ourselves, "Yeah, these guys are injury prone." But you know what? Given a new environment, you know, things
Yeah.
happen. Maybe things could change. But the fact that these guys fell
Yeah.
like dominoes,
Yep.
it's just very discouraging
And
when
that's
you
the
think about this
problem.
defense.
Yeah, that's the problem when you're paying what three guys, like you said, that are eating up a huge chunk of that salary cap. Now there's talk of all this that the Dolphins just released an inside backer. Oh, Pittsburgh should go after him. His agent said he was cut due to injuries this year with a
Yeah.
MCL sprain and a broken wrist. Do we really want to go that route again?
Mike, we do have to move forward. We had a conversation yesterday about, or the day before, about the Steelers and their report card, which I told you I'd never bring up again, but I am going to bring it up for one reason.
Okay,
Okay.
I think I know what.
The Pitt Panthers, you suggested, well, get rid of them. Let me tell
Yeah.
you, you want to know something interesting? The Pitt Panthers side is meets up on everything. Their side actually is doing really well. If you would compare what the Steelers have going on at the facility
Yeah.
compared to what Pitt has going on at the facility, the Panthers is top everything. Everything
Oh,
checks
yeah.
out grade wise. Everything gets good passing grades on everything. But the Steelers is failing.
Yeah.
You might want to
Hey.
get rid of the Steelers and let the Pitt Panthers have the facility. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. It's a joke. It's comical. It's funny.
Mike, why don't you go
You
tell
know
me
what? You
about
know
the
what? In
website
2 years,
now?
it's going to be Aliquippa anyway because they're going to have to play in the ACC.
That's
So
right.
just let Aliquippa have it.
Aliquippa and Pitt could share the facility.
Yeah.
The Steelers keep, if we keep Tomlin and things keep going the way they are, they could practice at Aliquippa's practice field.
No. We cannot desecrate Aliquippa football field like that. No.
Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
V2.theinters.com. The number 2, DUMYINZERS.com. Over there, we got our blog, we got our merch store, we got our social media links. Yes. And the lot going on over there. And like I said, the end of this week, another mock draft article will be up. I can't wait. I this is my 50 days until the draft. I'm geeked.
There
I'm
you go,
fired up,
everybody.
baby.
Go check out the website. That's www.the2dummyinjures.com. www.the2dummyinjures.com. A lot of cool things over there. Go check it out. All right, guys. Today, the trivia is going to be, of course, we've been doing random Pittsburgh sports trivia. Yesterday was Pitt football. Today, we're going to do a little Pitt basketball. So think that over for a moment, guys. Everybody on the board, you're welcome to play as along as well as everybody at home. This is your Pitt Panther basketball trivia question of the day. Derpy, are you ready? Mike,
I'm ready. I'm
I gotta
ready.
fix our. I'm having pro. And I don't know if you noticed, but for the past few days, I haven't had the Derpy button working
Yeah,
correctly.
you haven't.
Well, when
Oh.
we had that last storm, that knocked out the power, it jacked up the computer that I have the board on, and
That's not good.
no. So we'll talk more about that later, but that's what's going on. I don't have my sound effects. All right, here's the question of the day, guys. This is a Pitt basketball question. You ready, Derpy? Oh, he look at
Derpy, I'm
him.
ready.
Look at him. He's like, oh, they don't have the button. They can't push it on me. Now I'm not gonna say anything.
I'm
All right,
ready,
here
I'm
we
ready, I'm
go.
ready.
All right. Here's the question of the day. Who beat Pitt in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament back in 06-07, guys? Pitt made their way to the Sweet 16 in 06-07. Which team beat them and knocked them out? They were on their way to go into the Elite Eight, looking really good at a very good team. I want to know who beat the Pitt Panthers in the Sweet 16. In 06-07, guys, think that over. Take a moment. We are live, everybody. We're live Monday through Friday, right here from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. every day. If you'd rather listen to the show, or you only have the opportunity to listen to the show, we take the live, brand new episode that we do every day, and we upload it over on Spotify in podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. If you're in the car, you're in the gym, you maybe just want to put your earbuds in and listen to the show. The brand new show is uploaded every day at 8 o'clock. Check it out. All right, guys, here's the question of the day. Who beat Pitt in the Sweet 16 of the 2006-2007 NCAA tournament? Brian on the board says Kent State.
Golden
Now,
Flash, baby.
I could give you guys choices if you'd like.
I need choices on this
Derpy?
one. Derpy always needs choices.
Derpy!
Yes.
See? See?
See, look, he just needs to
Yes,
hear that
I'll
voice.
we
take
need the button.
choices.
Dude, I cannot not have this Derpy button. It's
I'll
very,
take choices.
very important part of the show, Mike. We have to get this work. We have to get this figured out. Right. So here it is. Who beat Pitt in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament in 06-07? Your choices are these. A, was it Kansas? B, was it UCLA? C, was it Duke? or D, was it Bradley? Kansas, UCLA, Duke, Bradley. I need to know which one of these teams knocked Pitt out of the big tournament back in 06 07 in the Sweet 16 round. Derpy, I'm going to start with you today. Who do you think it was? Who beat Pitt? Who knocked them out of the Sweet 16? Was it Kansas? Was it UCLA? Was it Duke? Or was it Bradley?
Bradley.
Bradley? And is this your final answer? All right.
Yeah.
Lock and Derpy in place for Bradley. And that's another thing. I don't have my lock in button, Mike.
God. You're killing me, Smalls. Cha-ching.
That's tough.
All right. So Mike, he says Bradley. Derpy says Bradley. Who beat Pitt in the Sweet 16 round in 06-07?
I'm going to go UCLA. That was going to be my guess before choices. I'm taking UCLA.
All right. Mike says UCLA. Derpy says Bradley. Brian says Kent State. Is this your final answer, Mike?
Final answer.
All
Cha-ching.
right. Locked in.
Cha-ching.
Who beat Pitt in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament 06-07? Derpy says Bradley. Mike says UCLA. The answer, of course, guys, was the Ben Howland coached UCLA. Who just recently
Yeah,
left
that's right.
Pitt.
Yep. Ben Hoolin.
Jamie Dixon takes over,
Yep.
faces off against the former coach of the Pitt Panthers, Ben Hallen, at UCLA. UCLA knocks out Pitt in the Sweet 16 round. Great job, guys.
I was going to guess. I couldn't remember if Allen was there
Wait, that's
at
a good
UCLA
point.
yet then or not. I couldn't remember the time frame. I remember that Pitt team, man. I thought they were going to make it to the final four that year.
They were very good. That was a good team. I think that was Julius
I
Page,
think
Chevy
so.
Troutman,
Yeah.
Carl Krauser. They had a good team. I don't know what year Kent beat Pitt, Brian, but I remember Wichita State beat us the one year, and it's always those kind of teams that beat us. I don't know what that's all about. Mike, anything before we start getting ready to take off, dude?
I got nothing, but I am checking out that Kent Penn State thing.
Penn State.
Or Kent State Pitt.
Okay. Derpy, anything before we get ready to take off?
2006, it looks
Let's
like.
go. Penguins.
What'd you say?
Says
It was
the Penguins.
just choppy. Good. Let's go, Penguins.
Yep.
All right. We do want to thank everybody for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you. As always, of course, we wouldn't do it without you. We want to thank everybody on the board. You always keep it interesting. My things are this: it was great to have a 3-0 day yesterday with our Pittsburgh teams getting the big wins, Pitt over Florida State, the Penguins beating Columbus, Pirates beating Toronto Blue Jays. But my thing is this, guys: Iowa versus Ohio State this past weekend had 3.4 million viewers, which was the second most in a college basketball game, men or women, all year long.
Wow.
The game itself this weekend
What's number
between
one?
Iowa and Ohio State beat out the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics on ABC in this most recent
That's
game.
crazy.
Caitlin Clark is that big of a
Yep.
story, guys. She will
Yep.
continue to be. And you know, Derpy, I was
Yes.
thinking, I think this team will do fine in the tournament. Why wouldn't they? They did fine last year. They just came up just short. I know that you were sour about them beating Ohio State the other day, but I thought about it. I think they have just as good a chance as anybody else. And I think the argument was, what if she has a bad day? What if she has a down day? I haven't seen her have a down day yet. Has anybody
I
seen
would be
this
more
girl have
worried
a
about her teammates more.
has anybody seen this girl have a down day yet?
It can happen.
I don't
Can
know.
happen.
They're like, she needs 51 points. What's she do? She goes out and scores 61 points. If she needed this amount of points, this chick has been up to the challenge for every single thing so far. All she has to do is score this many versus Michigan. She went out and scored that many in the first quarter by herself against Michigan. It's going to be very hard to beat her,
Yeah.
guys. But at the end of the day, it is her. Stopping the other people might be the key because, you know, if she's only going to score 61, which is a lot. your team could probably outscore that as a team collectively. I guess just trying to cut down the other people's points might be a good strategy. But guys, she did pull in 3.4 million viewers against Ohio State this weekend, being the second derby. I don't know. It didn't tell me the top game, but
that's that was crazy. The
second most watched that's college awesome. Basketball. Pretty wild. So we will keep continuing to follow Caitlin Clark, along with all the other sports going on, especially here in Pittsburgh. The Pirates back at it today. They play the Orioles. This is a 6:05 game. The Penguins, they have the Capitals coming to town tomorrow. And, of course, the Pitt Panthers, they play Saturday to finish up their ACC schedule against North Carolina State. But, guys, anything else? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
It's like we just talked about. I just saw on Twitter, it looks like Vancouver's heavily, heavily in talks with the Penguins to get Gensel. All right.
We'll keep an eye on that throughout the day as well. Derpy. Speak now.
Eloquent as always, Derpy, very choppy.
Very graceful. We keep Derpy around Derpy. For his grace.
Derpy out.
I had to say Derpy, Derpy out.
So there you go, everybody. Again, thank you for checking us out. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time to do it all over again for Derpy. Mike at the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, myself, the Two Dumb Yinders. Everybody have a great hump day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yep.
No, 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 no.